Alright, so we start our teaching, Adventures in Spiritual Growth. Amen. We are looking at the adventure of one who is growing spiritually. And I trust God that the facts, the charters, the details that we ought to know, we will know. Amen. Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Do not forget that the person writing is one of the folks that Jesus committed the witness of the gospel into his hands. So, Matthew is a disciple of Jesus. Jesus would commit, don't forget Acts 1:8, you'll be my witness. You receive power, of course, after the Holy Ghost is given unto you, or has come upon you. The word power, there's utterance. You receive utterance after the Holy Ghost come upon you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, uttermost part of the earth, Acts 1:8. In Luke 24:48, you find the same thing. How Jesus said, the 12 he has chosen were going to witness him. The funny thing is Jesus never had the book. So you don't have the book of Jesus. What you would have is the book of Matthew for Jesus. What you have is the book of John for Jesus. The book of Mark for Jesus. The book of Luke for Jesus. Does that make sense? Because they are his witness. Meaning that whatever they are about to write to you, they are the words of Jesus. And the guy just said now. So Matthew is writing to you, but he's not writing about himself. His writing is solely dedicated and centered on one person, the Christ. So if he opens up his book and he says, this book is the book of the generation of Jesus. We look at the word generation, it's the word Genesis actually. The book of the Genesis of Jesus. And he's looking at, he's tracing who begat who born who. There's a joke like that. Who born who? You know, so then he says, before we start the genealogy, before he start mentioning Judas, Perez, all of those, he said, he is the son of David, the son of Abraham. This book is the book of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So, by mentioning David and Abraham, listen very well, he shows you that what he is about to document about the life and the teaching of Jesus, you are going to find his words in the words of the prophets. I think it's a stupid thing to think that Matthew to Revelation exists on its own. It is called the Holy Bible. Bible means collection of books to become one. So the moment I say Holy Bible, it has to be the 66 books. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? There is nothing like start from Romans. You're going to oftentimes end up confusing yourself. I remember one time ago, someone told me, he said, you start from Romans. I'm talking about 16, 17 years ago. They start from Romans. The funny thing, I started from Romans, and I didn't understand anything. I was just looking, imagine someone starting from Romans. You're setting the person up. You'll just be reading. The invisible things of God are now made visible by the things which are not, which are seen. The things which are not seen are not seen. So that every man has that excuse. And you're just looking. What's this? And he says, the righteous shall live from faith to faith. And you're wondering, what's faith to faith? Is it one bus stop to another? No. Because you have to read it together. Are you listening to me this morning? Alright, so the Bible is in such a way that you read it together. I always say this. Let me say this one very clearly. There is no contradiction, one, like this in the Bible. Every contradiction is in the mind of the one who has not read. Or let me put it very well, in the one who has not read it together. I've finished the Bible quite a number of times. And I have friends who have too. And I'll tell you, there's no contradiction. Are there shortcomings in the writings of some of the prophets? Very well so. But is it balanced out by another prophet? Yes. So, Matthew opens up his book and says, there is no way on earth you are going to talk about Jesus without talking about David and Abraham. This is the book of Jesus, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And he's not the only one that started that way. Mark also started that way. Mark said, this is the beginning of the gospel of God. of Jesus, the Son of God. This is the beginning of, he also used the word Genesis. This is the beginning of the gospel of Jesus, the Son of God. Mark 1:1. John 1 also alludes to that beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. There is none that was made that was not made by Him. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John 1:4. So, again, that beginning. Beginning, of course, is Genesis. That beginning is a strong fact and a good chatter for the life and the teaching of Jesus. But, I just thought to say that. So, put in mind that there is no subject matter we are going to teach that we are not going to find where? Eh? In the word of the prophet. Can you call it the word of God? Come on, can you call it the word of God? Alright, good. So, Genesis to Malachi is not an old school. I know sometimes you read it and then you don't understand. The war, everything, people are just killing each other. You know, it can be funny. And probably we're going to teach that much more, Daniel Prophet Series 7. We're going to look at the wars, the fightings, the killings. Why? And why were they needed? Hallelujah. Alright, so, again, so when you read all those books, sometimes it might look somehow, what's this? I'm just killing this one. How does this concern Jesus? No, he is in the details. No, they say the devil is in the details. Christ is also in the details. He's also in the details of the Old Testament. Alright, that's it. Like I said, we want to talk about spiritual growth. A teaching I make effort to teach every year. I recall some years ago when we started out church, my first sermon was about spiritual growth. Amen? And we heard it at Isolo also when Isolo, in the estate. It was funny. I still remember the day very, very clearly in my head. We were three. You were three guys. Yeah, three. You, Sister Judith, and Reggie. Yes. Yeah, so I taught spiritual growth. And thank God, another January, some years later, and we are still teaching the same thing. Amen. Because you cannot stop teaching. There are some things you have to keep teaching. For example, you have to keep teaching people how to walk by faith. Sometimes you can forget. You have to keep teaching people about the healing power of God. Because sometimes you can forget. You have to keep teaching people how to walk in love. That one is very important. Because sometimes you can just allow, because I'm a Christian, you want to think I'm a mumu. Some of you are saying, you always say that in your heads. I'm a Christian, no, I'm not a mumu. Nobody can use me. I will show you. Nah. If you show people your true color, then that ought to be love. Amen. So, there are subject matters that every year, listen very well, even as a believer in your personal devotion and your personal walk with God, ensure that those parts are well catered for. You must look at how am I growing spiritually? Am I growing? You know, whatever is not growing is either has a disorder or is dead. Let's say that again. Whatever is not growing is either diseased, even diseases grow. There is either a disorder or there is death. So, if I'm alive spiritually, then I should be growing. It's unfortunate that sometimes we consider every part of our lives and we don't look at this one. What is the difference between me 4 years ago and me now? You have to be asking yourself that question. Am I the same yesterday, today, and forever? Or have I progressed in my faith? In the way I trust God? In the way I pray? Or you are still struggling with prayer the way you were struggling with it 3 years ago? Then there is a problem. Don't let anybody deceive you. You don't want to give birth to a child and it's not growing. You know, babies are cute. I know you agree babies are cute. Personally, let me say it now. I don't think so, but it's fine. I don't see how cute it is. You are crying and you... I believe they are cute at age 2, 1. But you see those small ones? Those little ones. What are you gaining there? Toothless gums. Nah. It's the one that has that two in front. That's the one I like. Then I say, Pastor, you're not carrying my baby. Calm down. Alright. But you believe babies are cute. I worked in the pediatric unit for a while too. For some time, months. Okay, maybe they are cute or not, but it's fine. The parents give me money, so it's fine. If your parents give me money, you are cute. You know, they don't give me, you know, when doctors are done treating you, there's one woman like that. And when she comes, doctor, you just go and bring juice from her car. They're so righteous, they're so nice. So the baby is cute for me, I don't want to know what's wrong. Alright, so, you know, babies are cute, you carry them, you laugh with them, you do all of that, but you don't want them to remain babies. The moment it's 6-7 months, you're expecting something. Why is he not sitting? Why is he not crawling? Why is he not... You understand what I'm saying? You're expecting some primitive reflexes to give way. Why? Imagine you have a 14-year-old and she's talking his tongue. She's talking on his tongue. They're so cute. Is that what you say? Come on, is that what you will say? Why heck? He's like, man. Go cute, oh. What did you do in here, oh? Amen. So, even as much as we love babies, we want to see them grow. You want to see them develop. You want to see them start showing character. In fact, you start to give them responsibilities. Your parents, the way they did it, just be dipping your hands like water. Your parents is washing. You just be dipping your hands like water. So, just be doing like this. They are training you for shaking. And the baby eagerly is doing this. You don't know that shaking is on the way. About to be seen successfully. Then from there, they start throwing handkerchief. You have started the journey of life. Before you know it, you're just in bulk of clothes. Mommy, you're not washing with me today. So you're not old enough to wash. You don't know how to just do this. And God will save you. This will not be clean. I'm a baby. You're not a baby anymore. Amen. Some of you have dogs. Some people like their dogs to be puppies forever. It's okay. But if you bought it for security reason, imagine the thief sees a puppy. If you like, it should be German Shepherd. If you like, it should be Australian goats. If you like, it should be Shepherd, the Shepherd's Shepherd, the Chief Shepherd. As long as it's a puppy, there's nothing you can do. The thief will be racing it. Amen. So you want it to grow. So growth is a symbol of life and progress. So we are looking at adventures in spiritual growth. That should be what the Church of Christ ought to pay attention to. For example, if someone had been in church for a while, I begin to look at them. There's nobody I don't look at. Let me just give you the gist now. There's no single person. As long as you're regular, I begin to look at the person. Is he or she making progress? I want to see that progress in the faith. You can't claim to be going to church and you have been the same since. You are not the Spirit of God. You can't be the same. We also have seen growth, development. How can you say, since I started attending church, glory be to the Lord. Now I know how to market myself. What kind of nonsense is that one? I remember on campus, I asked my roommate, now that church, because his own, he made us know a lot of churches. Every time he comes back with a bag. They just say, RCCG province, home indeed. Okay. This one, the Lord's Parish, every Sunday. So I knew a lot of churches. In fact, we could start a directory on churches in Lagos. Just from his own. So I told him, I said, so there was a time he was now constant in a particular one. I said, let's go to another church again today. Because every time you're telling Calvary greetings, only you receive like 450 Calvary greetings from different pastors. You know, I said, that I like this one. I said, I'm proud of you. I spoke too early. So I said, now, what made you stay in this one? If you had told me the reason, I would not have said I was proud of him. I was not proud of him at all. So, what made you stay in this one? He said, that church, number one, the cars. Max. It's not the car that matters, it's you. He doesn't have a car. In fact, when he came, I'm talking about them, of course. He said, the car. So every Sunday, he goes to the garage or the park and he snaps. Do you want to open car shop? Want to be doing middleman? Then I said, okay, what's the second thing? He said, that church, I used to see scope of how to talk to a woman. I was shocked. He said, sometimes the pastor doesn't even know that he's dropping lines. Ah! I'm an issue pastor. The pastor doesn't know that he's dropping lines, so he will write it down. He said, give me your notes. So I begin to look at the note. Truly, there are lines. Amen. Line upon line, precept upon precept. And that was what he could account for 3 months in a church. Not this place. Amen. It's like going to send your child to school to study accounting. And say, what are you teaching in your faculty? Say, ah, you speak in tongues so much. You can't be speaking in tongues in faculty of, what's that faculty? Biz admin, I do whatever. Eh? Management science. They've changed it. I thought it used to be business admin. When I was in English, like, that was it. Business admin. It's not management science. Why did farms in science? Everybody wants to be a scientist. So, all the management science, we speak in tongues so much. In fact, when our professor comes in, we just edify ourselves. Ah, he didn't go to school. Amen. You have certificate, return it, and tell them you are sorry. He didn't go to school. Every place has its own purpose. In the church, we ought to have adventures in spiritual growth. We ought to look at 5 months behind and say, oh, I'm praying better now. You know what? I actually can communicate the things of God better now. You know what? Unlike 6 months ago, unlike 1 year ago, I'm bolder now. No, those are your adventures. How you go to church and you are learning commerce? When is one church like that? I'm not going to mention any name. One church like that in Ibadan. Apparently, an Anaja gave them land for church and used to support the church for money. So they gave the Anaja reverend, honorary reverend. So we have Reverend Anaja Falai. Reverend Anaja, I've never heard him before. Ibadan. Imagine you see someone, we welcome to the high table, Reverend Anaja. Are you not going to be ashamed? Honorary reverend. Alright, so let's look at sorry about that. Let's look at spiritual growth. Hallelujah. So we need to know what is spiritual growth. What is spiritual growth? Firstly, you cannot grow without being alive. Chairs don't grow, fans don't grow, except Arsenal fans, of course. But ceiling fans, standing fans, they don't grow. Chelsea fans, those ones don't grow. But Arsenal fans, no. Hallelujah. Maybe Barca. I have no issue with them. I have issue. They've beaten us 4-0 before. So, they will never grow. Arsenal, Real Madrid, have never had an issue. Alright, so, but non-living things don't grow. So it takes something to be alive for us to talk about growth. How many of you agree with that? Alright. I have a strong interest in plants. I have a plant. They call it plant parenting. I don't see that. I don't mind they are big plants. But I water it every day. I look at it. Is anything there? Because there was one that died recently. Another. R.I.P. But what am I saying? You have to be alive to grow. And sometimes you need to look at false growth. False growth. So again, so we need to look at how does the believer grow? That means the believer is firstly alive. Say, I'm alive. Some people said they don't sound like they're alive. Say, I'm alive. Look at John 10. Because we can only trace growth to life. Don't forget Mr. Niger D. Characteristics of living things. Movement, respiration, I forgot to know. And I went to medical school. Nutrition, irritability, growth, excretion, we are trying to, reproduction, and death. Alright. Whoever put death there? You are Mr. Niger. Well, the God of this world will find the wish. Sure. We could prove that wrong, sir. But John 10, Verse 10. The thief comes not, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life. That's Jesus. He said, I have come so that you might have life and have it more abundantly. What does that mean? Every man who has believed in Jesus is going to have his life. And that is so said all over the scriptures. We're going to look at more. In John 4, before that, Jesus met a woman by the well. A woman of Samaria. And then the woman came and said, Jesus' disciple went to KFC to get food. Jesus met the woman. So Jesus spoke to women. Is that fine? Is that fine? Alright. When I was younger, let me tell you something. I used to hate women. Not hate. I used to run. In fact, I don't shake hands with sisters. I always be like, it's a sin, like, don't stain me. Oh my God. And I always be like, sisters, you should do the same thing. So, like, just keep your distance. But you wonder why I attended the DSCF? Now you have your reason. No, don't talk to women. Just stay holy and thank God that I did it. Amen. The people that are claiming emoji, you are doing counsel, student pastor, you are locking room. Now you are not paying blanket words. You are heading backwards. Thank God we did it. Amen. Conservatism here and there. That helped. Amen. At least now I'm telling you, Jesus spoke to women. Amen. So you can. So he started talking to the woman and said, give me water. Now, Jesus was interested in the water. Obviously. He eventually did not drink. He wanted to just start a conversation. That's something. He said, give me water. I was like, I said you would drop line. So Jesus wanted to start a conversation going. He said, give me water. The woman said, you are a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We don't ask each other for something, remember? Then Jesus said, look at verse 7. Jesus said to her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to buy food. Then the woman said, you being a Jew, ask me for drink. A woman of Samaria. The Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. I've explained this to you before. It's a political and cultural concept. Verse 10. Jesus said unto her, can we read what Jesus said to her? Want to go? If you knew the gift of God, and he that is asking you, give me to drink. He said, he will give you living water. Can we verse 14 together? Whichever drink of the water I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to what? Because he said, living water. The water that makes alive. The water I will give you will make you come alive. But was she standing there and breathing? Eh? But Jesus saying, no. There is something that there is a life we don't have. So again, that is changing our perspective about life. That means someone can be walking and is not alive. Just like Adam. God said, the day you eat of that tree, you will surely die. And God came and Adam was still hiding. But he was dead. Come on. So, he was answering question. Where are you? I'm not going to answer that question, no. I just ran behind him. I'm naked. So I said, who told you you're naked? Have you eaten of the tree I asked you not to? Don't you think it's apple? That's the garden egg now. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know whatever you see in that. Is it a fruit? Is it a vegetable? What's garden egg? You are a musician. Eh? Vegetable. But he believes what his sin lies therein. And yet, Adam being dead, still lived 900 plus years. 934. Yeah? Because physical life is not eternal life. Are you hearing me from the back? Eh? So, your perspective to life has to go by God's word. Jesus was talking to this woman and he says, I can make you come alive. Okay? So, life is what Jesus brought. You need to look at life from the biblical worldview. I taught you worldview, right? Look at John 1. In verse 4, he said, In him was life. And the life was the light of men. In him was life. In him was life. In Christ was life. By using was, he's telling you that this is not something that just happened because he just was born. It's a statement of the prophets. That is, from Abraham, from Abel, to Abraham, to Noah, to Abraham, to Lot, to Moses, to Joshua. He said, in him was life. In Christ. They all believed in Christ. Don't forget Hebrews 11, let us understand that the blood of Christ has been speaking eternal, that's what better things, has been speaking eternal things since Abel. A blood that speaks eternal things since Abel. Alright, so again, in him was life. So that means the only way to see life is to look at Christ. God told Adam, you are going to eat of which tree? Which tree? Eh? Sure, which one did God say you should eat of? Life, nah? Abi? Which one should you not eat out of? Say it, nah? Some people are doing like, all those people in class, at the back of the class. God said you're going to eat of the tree of life. Now, of course, I don't expect anybody in this church to think that there was a garden and then there was a tree of life. You are going to be stupid to be thinking that there's a tree of life and serpent was talking. Some way you used to think sometimes. How many serpents was talking? This is the garden, a little serpent. I come and see that. The serpent was the devil. Wabi? Is the devil a serpent? No. The serpent is a representation of the devil. The same way the Holy Ghost is not a dove. John just used it as a representation. And of course, that's proper because that's the reason why God created animals. To show you emotions, characters. Dog. As a dog returns to his vomit. You see the Bible uses animals to characterize attitude. And so Moses would use a serpent to talk about that deception. And of course in Revelation and Capsicum, he said that old serpent, the devil. So, if you don't know what happened in Genesis, Revelation sums it up for you. Does that make sense? That old serpent, that Genesis one, he said it is that's the devil. Alright? So the devil came to man and deceived man about the word of God. But what was the word of God? Eat of the tree of life. Of course, by saying eat, eat itself is a motion of faith. Eat doesn't mean he's going to carry the fruit. No. Remember, Jesus said, this is my body, eat. And they were eating something else. And could they have eaten his body without eating that stuff? Because eating his body is faith. Look at John 6, for example. Look at John chapter 6. When he was done multiplying the loaves of bread, and the fish. You know, if you do that, people will come for your service. Hallelujah. Imagine after every service in this church, they just give you rice and chicken and a coleslaw with orange juice to the glory of God. Chilled one. Tell me you're not come for next service. If they say there are 4 services today. Okay, let's leave food. Some of you say, yeah, I don't like it like that, Pastor. Until they start serving you. They say for every service you attend, you're going to get $1,000. What's $1,000 now? Most of you like conversion. That's why I'm 500k. Over 500k. Let's say 600k. Every service. You know you attend like 5 services. See, I just love Jesus. I just want to serve him all my life. Starting from today. With 5 services. About 2.5 million naira. He said, are you not going to work tomorrow? He said, work. This is work. My work is to do the in that sent me. That was the exact way. He just go, after service, they ate bread. For there to be 12 baskets left, people have taken no more. You know human beings now. Everybody has taken their own jara. There are still 12 baskets left. The next day, what are you expecting? They came to Jesus. Come and teach us God's word again. Verse 25. You there now? John 6. When they had found him on the other side of the sea. That means they have been looking for him. They actually went to look for him in another city. Bread. Is he your meat? They said unto him, Rabbi! These are the same people that will say crucify him later. Sometimes don't look at titles that people call you. People can call you anything when they need you. Just telling you. Rabbi, Why did you come here now? We are waiting for you in the temple. Jesus said unto them, you are not seeking me because you, not because you saw miracles, but because you ate bread and you are full. Labor not for the meat that perishes, but for the meat that endures to everlasting life. So there's a meat, there's a meat that endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give you, for him the God of Father has sealed. Then said unto him, what shall we do that we might do the mighty works of God? Then Jesus said, this is the work of God, that you what? Believe. Then he said unto him, what sign will you now show us? How do you walk? Our fathers eat manna. They are still saying, show us sign now, give us, if you are the Son of God, you that the Father has sealed. Say, our fathers ate manna. I'm not saying that you should give us manna, but our fathers ate manna. In the desert, as it is written. That's why people know how to quote Bible. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said, Moses gave you not the bread from heaven. Observe that. But my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. Sorry, what is that true bread? Christ himself. For the bread of God is he that comes from heaven and gives life to the world. They said, give us this bread now. If earthly bread was sweet like that yesterday, give us heavenly bread. Then Jesus said, I am the bread of life. John 6:35. I am the bread. He that comes to eat me shall never, he that believes me shall never thirst. What did you observe there? I am that bread of life. Eat me. Is that a Genesis narrative? Come on. I told you that everyone who is writing the account for Jesus, they are writing at the, with what in back, in their background? Genesis to Malachi. This is the beginning of the gospel, the Genesis of the gospel. So, you will always find that Genesis motif, M-O-T-I-F. You always find that Genesis motif in their writings. Jesus said, I am the bread. Eat. How will you eat of the bread? To believe. Come on, is that? Is that they go and bite him? Is that the bread? Lying. No. They are going to believe on him, and by believing on him, they have eaten of the bread of life. Was that what Adam was meant to do? Alright, so when God said, eat of the tree of life, that doesn't mean that he's going to take of a fruit. Mm-mm. Believe in the one that gives you life. So bread of life, tree of life, water of life, living water is the same person. Just different personification. I don't like my personification now. Different figures of speech. But water of life, bread of life, tree of life, the same person. So, how do you eat of the tree of life? By believing. Don't forget, the word of God comes to Adam in the cool of the day. That word, the call of God, Q-O-L. Actually, that's the voice of God. That is not sound waves. That is a person. That is, God kept showing Adam, this is me. Believe. This is me. Believe. Don't forget, God made him an helpmate. I've told you before, Eve was not the helpmate. I'm begging you in the name of Lord. I'm begging you. Eve is not the helper. I know a lot of ladies strive on that. Your helpmate, the bone of the left ligament. You are not the helper. I know you. In marriage context, you help each other. Is that clear? Both the husband is the helper, the wife is the helper. An helpmate in that Genesis is a warrior. I've told you before, is the Hebrew word ezer. E-Z-E-R. Z for zebra. E-Z-E-R. That's the word helpmate. It's not good for man to be alone. I will make for him an helpmate. That is the same word that David now say, I will look up to the hills. Where will my ezer come from? That is not Eve. Eve herself needed an helpmate. That was Christ. We have looked at this over and over again. Go and listen to our dialogue prophets. We looked at it for over 2 hours, I beg. The woman cannot be the deliverer. That ezer is a mighty man of war that saves you from trouble. Moses named his son Eleazar. E-L-I-E-Z-E-R. That is El-Ezar. The Lord is my helper. All over the Old Testament, there's no one place you will see that word Ezar used for a human being.
It is used for God. Hosea told Israel, he said, Israel, hear ye the word of the Lord. The Lord your God is your helpmeet. Is that clear? Eve was not Tito. God said he's not going to forget Eve is Adam. Eve is not another woman being. He's not another. Eve is Adam. We taught this before. Come on. I don't expect you to be looking like this. We taught this over and over again. Maybe I'll go through it again next week. Is that fine? With more details. Eve. Abi, when Adam slept, they took Eve out now, Abi. If you put it back, is it not the same person? If he stands, is it not the Adam? Just another name. That's why both of them were found in sin. Both of them needed that helpmeet. But what was Adam's sin or what was man's sin? Because Adam and Eve are one. That's why you observe that the epistles never mention Eve. They just say Adam's sin. Because by saying Adam's sin, you have said Adam and Eve. There's no, don't start saying it's the female gender that betrayed us. No. It's just one man. Amen. Amen. There's no male or female. There's no... Ladies, have I tried for you? I've defended you. See me for my feast. Just kidding. So again, both Adam and Eve needed the help meet. What did they need to do? To eat of the tree of life. Eat of the tree of life. Would they have to go to the tree and pluck? What will eat mean? So eating and drinking are motions of faith. Jesus told that woman, if you give me water, I will give you everlasting water. When you drink of it, you will never come to thirst again. That is, by drinking, that is faith. Eating and drinking have become motions of faith. Matthew 26, on that table where you call the Passover, the Lord's Supper, what did Jesus tell them? He said, when you eat, this is my body. Drink, this is my blood. Those are motions of faith in Christ. So, again, don't forget where we are coming from. In him was life. So we said, life is in Jesus. Life is in Jesus. Have we confirmed that a man can actually be breathing in and breathing out, and his organs are functioning fine, and he's not alive? Like that woman at the well. Like Nicodemus. Jesus came and said, you have to be born again so that you can have eternal life. Man said, as old as I am like this, you think I'm not alive? I'm alive now, I'm talking to you, don't go. Except a man be born of the Spirit. So, that means there's a perspective to life that we need to add to our view. You learn something? So, life is in Jesus. Look at 1 John 5. Before 1 John 5, John chapter 5, verse 24. Very, very, I say unto you, he that hears my word, and believes on him that sent me, he will have everlasting life, and he shall not come to condemnation, but he is passed from what? Death to life. Observe, he's talking to people who are physically alive. Said, he that believes on he that sent me will pass from death to life. But they are alive. But he's saying, no, they are in death. They will pass from death to life. And that happens when a man believes the gospel. What is the gospel? How Christ died for me. Rose and he now indwells by the Spirit. Our sins are forgiven because we believe. So, if I believe his story, then he says, I have passed from death to life. Look at verse 40, John 4, John 5. Jesus told them, and you will not come to me that you might have life. I mean, he's talking to people in his front. And he said, you are not, Pharisees, you guys are not coming to me that you might have life. But, you know, in normal human thinking, they will tell him, come on, don't you have life like this? See as I'm fresh. See as I'm glowing. I have life? No. Come to me that you might have life. So, life is in the gospel. Life is in Christ. Can we say it together? Life is in Christ. John 10, verse 28. We are going to read 27 and 28 together. You there? Want to go? My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give to them what? And they shall never, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They shall never perish.
Before he said they will not come to condemnation, John 5:24. They will not perish. They will not come to condemnation. So, every man in Christ has that eternal life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. So, that immediately, listen very well to what I'm about to say. Because this should set the tone for your Christian living and your walk here on the earth. That should change your perspective to physical death. I'll say this very well. Loud and clear. A believer ought not to fear death. It is never an end. I'll say it again. It is never an end. That should change your perspective. Jesus says, see, they will never die. That's what, you know, that's what he told Martha and Mary. When he went to Lazarus, he said, forget this one that is happening now. Anyone that believes in me will never die. So, that means there is a death that is more serious than passing out in the hospital. And that death will be a spiritual one. The one Adam had. And was breakdancing. And he was dead. That should change your narrative totally. And your perspective to death. Be scared. There's nothing in it. Life is for living. For Jesus. Paul says, you know, for a man to say, to live is Christ, to die is a gain. You know, he has said something. He said, to die, so you guys, if I, to die is gain. I'm going to be with the Lord. But you know the reason why, let me say this, the reason why a lot of people still have an issue with this is because your estimation of this world is wrong. You still think that this world is all there is. You wake up in the morning, you eat your best food, you travel to the best places, you have the best vacation, you set up a family, you are comfortable, and you think that is the height. How wrong can you be? In fact, what the prophet told us is that light is like a vapor. Another prophet will say, light is like a dream. And I've taught you before that dreams show us the fickleness of life. Dreams show us how fickle life is. There is a world beyond Lagos, Nigeria. There's a world beyond California, United States. There's a world beyond Hong Kong. There's a world beyond Germany that makes this world look like a dream. Remember that story in Luke 16. When Jesus was saying about Abraham and Lazarus, you know, they were not on the earth. And yet you had communications. You had people, entities talking to show you that there is a world beyond the physical that has its own interactions. But Jesus says, anyone who doesn't believe is not alive in there. It's not alive. I don't get what I'm saying. It's my worldview. This world is just this world. There is an eternity with time without end. There's no happy new year there. It is from eternity to eternity. Now, that's life. So when he says everlasting life, now you understand what he means. That is a life that doesn't end. It is on loop. It doesn't end. You will not wake up one day and say, ah! The world comes to an end. No, it doesn't come to an end. An endless life. That's what Paul calls it. He says, we have the power of an endless life. Hallelujah. That should change your narrative about death. Of course, when people die, we miss them. That's normal. We miss them and all that. But that is never an end. Never. I love the way Bro Hagin puts it, of blessed memory. He says, the believer can never die. He will change his form, or he will change his world. They can never die. Who miss them? But they are fine. Hallelujah. I remember some years ago, when my mom passed, I believe that was when God even taught me a lot about this. Because I made inquiries. What's happened? Yeah, everybody was in shock and they were crying. I did not cry until some months after, of course. And my own tears now started in buckets. And everybody was now enjoying their lives and I started my own. And thank God I did cry. It's good. It's good. Don't stop people from crying. Don't cry. But never see it as an end. No, it's not.
Hallelujah. Bregan said, he said, when people die, they will realize that the entire world, your entire, whatever amount of years you spent, was a dream. Have you ever had a dream before? Everyone has had a dream before. Have you ever had dreams where it appeared like you were, it was real? And you look like you had billions. Then you just woke up. As you woke up, your eyes was opening to your ceiling. You just knew, no. Let me go back. You will see that it was a dream. Look at Psalms 90. You learn something. Don't forget where we're coming from. Spiritual growth is predicated on life. You cannot grow if you are not alive. So, we are looking at that life. Is that clear?
Uh-huh.
Psalms 90, verse 4. For 1,000 years in your sight are as but yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. 1,000 years. You carry them away as with flood. They are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which grows up. He says, the life of man is like a sleep. It's as a sleep. Some persons have it as dream. And who
said your own is NLT, Abi?
What is it? A dream. Damola, you have an idea? You change it to get a dream. Okay, it's sleep.
Alright.
What's another version? You also say it's a dream? What did you say? Like a passing night. Hallelujah. That is what the prophet said. James will say, like a vapor in the wind. Like a vapor in the wind. That is how there is the life of man. Like a vapor in the wind. There is no permanence to it. So there is absolutely no need to be terrified. There is no, what I say? No. Some people live every day of their life in the fear of death. We shall not die. No, come on. The only reason why we want to live is to fulfill God's plan. But you know what? To die is gain. It's to fulfill God's plan on the earth. Not for the fear of death. Change your world view. These are adventures in spiritual growth. You begin to see life differently. Because some people the only reason they live is to grow up and marry. What's your life ambition? To marry. So after marriage, what will happen? I'll not be enjoying my husband. Uh-huh. What if your husband says you're not enjoying it? Wa'ala. Wa'ala. The Greek word for wa'ala is wa'ala. 2, 365 times. Nah. Life is for the living. Amen. Alright. So, the man in Christ will never be no more. Death is never an end. I love the way Paul puts it in Romans 4. How you learn something? Sometimes you have to pray. God, let me see. Let me see you. You know, Stephen, they were stoning Stephen, he's about to die. And he said, the Bible says, and his face was joyful. He said, I see the Lord. What you by excellence? That is a man that knows that life is like as a dream. No matter what you acquire, if you like get degree, academic degree like a Saku. A Saku has how many? 360 degrees.
Uh-huh.
Get academic degree like a Saku. Marry how many wives now? How many wives satisfy you? No promise. Pastor, if you insist to, that's my wish, not like I want to. One per day. You just die young. It's not like it's poetry that you want to start. No matter how much you do, it's like a vapor in the winds. Here today, gone tomorrow. Like a passing of the night. Thanks be to God for the hope in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That's what everyone stands for. Look at what Paul says. In verse 16. He says, for this cause, what is the cause? For the preaching of the gospel, preaching of Christ Jesus the Lord. For this cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet our inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, what is the light affliction? This present world, the limitations of this body, of this life. It says, for our light affliction, it's for a moment. See how we use it. A moment. You know what we call a moment? Something like that passes. He says, Everything you are facing now, the ups and downs. You know, life is everything. There was a time you are crying about results, about primary school results, that you got 2/10. How does that matter to you now? No faith, I know you will do that. You will cry. Whenever you gave me, I always be like that. There was a time I said, I wanted to take first in class, and I think I said, thanks be to God. I'm not to myself. Now, he's the son of the fighter that was first. I did not say they gave him more. They gave Elijah, he's the one that gave first. I did not say I passed him, child. But I always tell him that, and because your father is a provider. Just kidding. He was a brilliant boy. But, look at all those times you were crying. I remember when I was in boarding house. You look like the end of the world. Seniors want to bully you. You have inspection the next day, you don't have bucket to fetch water. Like, now I'm looking at, what's that? What's that nonsense? How we went to boarding house? You know what I'm talking about? You went to boarding house? There's inspection the next morning. You know they will beat you. Because you have to fetch water. Let me just say, just fetch water. Everybody will have one bucket of water. You need it to mop floor, mop veranda, clean the hostel, the toilet and everything. So everybody submits one bucket of water. The senior will inspect it. The point is that if you fetch that bucket the night before, Otilo, they will steal it with the bucket. It's like chaining. Chain is nothing. People break chains. There's no, not Paul and Silas kind of thing. Not Peter breaking from chains. This was an expert. I wrote my name on my mattress. They cut the name out. I said, but this is addition. This is addition. Turn it upside down and see. The next time I just said, yeah, just turn the bed too. His own name is at the back. He said, so who owns the bed? I said, you. Don't worry. I did my own shot. I stole his school uniform. I was able to go to class. The two. People always have two. I stole the two. I stole and I gave him a note. Hope you are enjoying the bed. So it's funny now. You didn't have the end. There was a night like that. I can remember vividly. I was 10 or something, or 11. And I was thinking, I said, what kind of life is this? Because I know I would get another stroke of the king in the next morning. Of course I got it. About 12. With extra slaps. That 12 is after toss fail. You know toss fail? Do your back well. Hug the pole. There's a pole. There's a stupid pole. I will go back to that school. There's a stupid pole. There are like three in front of that dormitory. You will now hug it. Your hand must not go off it. Your hand goes off it, they will start again. So I was thinking about all of that and I said, God, kill me. How wrong was I? God should not kill me, oh. Amen. But that looked like the world to me. You talk to secondary school students. No, they look like, why it is the end of the world? No, you will get to tertiary institution. Polytechnic, College of Medicine, College of Education, University, anyone. You will get there. You know that's not anymore. In that place too, you will think it's just about graduating. It's a lie. When you graduate, you will see shaggy. You will know that it is always like that. But look at what Paul calls it. He said, it's for a moment. He said, everything, all your life, the entire life, he said, is a life affliction for a moment. That moment is relative. He's looking at it in the light of eternity. He said, this is a moment. This is a twinkle of an eye. Thank you, Jesus. Come on. Thank you, Jesus, for the hope of eternal life. He said, it's for a moment. Like a vapor in the wind. Like a dream in a passing night. It's for a moment. So what you call death and everything, the person is looking at you and saying, thank you, Jesus. I don't live like that. He said, it's for a moment. It doesn't look as long as it has been looking. He says, for a light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us what? A far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Verse 18. Why we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen. What is not seen? What is sin? Our light afflictions for a moment. What is not sin? The eternal weight of glory is working. He says, we must be looking at the things that are not sin. You must change your worldview. We must be looking at the things which are not sin. That eternal life that works in us through Christ. That endless life. Why we look not at the things which are sin? That light affliction which is but for a moment. But we look at the things which are not sin. That eternal weight of glory. We look at the things which are not sin. Because they are eternal. Hallelujah. Praise God. Are you hopeful? So the man in Christ will never be no more. From Abel to Abraham, to Stephen, to Paul, to John G. Lake, to Kenneth E. Hagin, to Ida Osa, to Catherine Kumar, to Reinhard Bonnke, one of my favorites, will live forever. Amen. Not in our hearts, he live forever in our hearts. You, which heart? Ask that for a moment. He forever be in our hearts. Which heart? Even your heart is saying, Oga, I'm not part of this nonsense. He said, everything you are saying, all this light affliction. Wait, he called it light. This is a man that has been to prison. This is a man that he has seen everything. He was born. His city, Tarsus, was captivated by Rome. He had killed Christians. He has met Jesus. He has been in prison. He has been beaten by a viper. He has gone through storm and shipwreck. Then he says, it's a light affliction. Everything is a moment. I see all your career. I'm married. I'm finished on this relationship. Your pros. A light affliction for a moment. So you now see where your pastor says, don't miss church. Why are you missing church for this? It's because of that view. Are you getting what I'm saying? Is that view? Why are you missing prayer meeting for? No, pastor, this wedding only happens once in a lifetime. What a lifetime, a moment. The truth is, whether you believe it or not, we all say, hallelujah. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Paul says, so that's why when people die, Paul will call it sleep. He said, those who are asleep in the Lord. Paul now said, he now told church in Thessalonica, he said, we don't mourn like those without hope. I was chapter 4. Are you learning something this morning? Chapter 4 verse 13. Can we read together? But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are, those is only about those who have died physically, who are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. He says, of course, he's saying you will sorrow. He says, but we don't mourn. We don't sorrow like people without hope. Hallelujah. There is hope in Christ. There is hope in Christ. You believe that? That there is hope in Christ? Thank you, Jesus. Jesus told that woman, he said, this water you are drinking, this one is not it. He said, the water I will give you will spring in you to everlasting life. You will never know thirst again. Thank you, Jesus. So, physical death is a play. It's not as serious as it looks. Like I said, that doesn't mean we are not remorseful. That doesn't mean that I use the word remorseful. No. It doesn't mean we are not sorrowful over. No, come on, we miss people. I miss my mom. You don't think I do? I do. Not every day, I won't lie. You know, say, every day I wake up, I miss her. It's a lie. Some days I don't even remember. But I do miss her. You know what I'm saying? But then I think that's the end. Nah. We don't mourn like those who don't have hope. Because there's hope. The only issue is that you are not looking at the things which are not seen. You are looking at the things which are... You are looking at the light affliction. But Paul has told you. He summarizes the entire life. He says, but for a moment. It's for a moment. So, that being said, we are talking about spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's what we are talking about. Spiritual growth. So we said, what precedes spiritual growth? Life. You have to be alive. Alive, rather. Then we can now say, oh, you are obliged to grow. Is the believer alive? Because he was born in the hospital? Why? Because he has received the life of Christ. Don't forget John 3:16. That popular one. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but what? Have eternal life. How long is eternal life? 45 billion years. Eh? Eh? 929,000 billion, million, zillion, trillion. It's forever. Hallelujah. It's an endless life.
So, growth is what proceeds of the life we have in Christ. So, growth is what proceeds of the life we have in Christ. And by having life, it confers on us the need to grow. It confers on us the need to grow. 1 Peter 2. We've not got to our main text too. Don't worry, not today. Not main text for today. Main text for the teaching. In 1 Peter 2, verse 2. Even as newborn babes, we've collected the punctuation there, eh? Even as newborn babes desire milk of the word that you may grow therein or thereby. So again, he's saying, because you are alive. This is Peter talking to the church. First verse 2. And then because you are alive, you have to, the way babies desire milk, you have to desire the word. You have to desire the word. To grow. So that means, the fact that you are alive, don't forget our alive, right? Don't forget our definition of alive, Abi.
Uh-huh.
The fact that you are alive means that you have to be growing. You have to be growing. I've told you in the beginning that whatever is not growing is either dead or has a disorder. And seeing that the believer in Christ is alive, then if a believer is not growing, it's a disorder. 2 Peter 3, verse 18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That word "and" there is actually not conjunctory. It is explanatory. Sometimes when you have "and" in the, don't forget this Bible was not written in English. It was written in Greek. And then translated, not even to the English directly, over 7 other languages before it reached English. So sometimes you have "and," and that "and" is not telling you, "Shade and this." What's the word's name again? You said it the other time. Alright. So, I say, Hope and Tolani. You know, if I say Hope and Tolani went to the market, that's two people. So I can go to the market and say, "Where's Hope?" Then I say, "Where's Tolani?" Now, in that instance, the word "and" there is conjunction. It's trying to tell you this person and this person. Two principal nouns, right? Now, but there are times when it is not a conjunction. Where it is explaining. For example, look at Ephesians. Ephesians 1. Can we read verse 3? Want to go? Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That "and" the Father, is it two people? God, and then there's the one Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Or God, who is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So can you see that "and" can be both conjunctory and explanatory. Does that make sense? So when you say blessed be God and the Father, if you are looking for two people, your light affliction is but for a moment. You should not be looking for two people. You should know that he's talking about God, and that is, he is also the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense? That's the same thing you find in, when he says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Spirit. He's one and the same thing. He's not talking about three different things. It's one and the same thing. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the word grace is to, the giving of our Lord Jesus Christ is the love of God. Is that not it? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So, the giving of our Lord Jesus Christ, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the love of God, and that is how we have the fellowship of the Spirit. Does that make sense? Because without the giving of Christ, there is no fellowship of the Spirit. He's trying to explain to them what the believers have in Christ, how that we are one with the Father, but he's saying that that came because of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's not three different facts, it's not three different statements. No, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is the love of God. So, go back to 2 Peter 3:18. So, there's a way to read. So, you must be able to know and be able to map it out and say, this is conjunctory, this is conjunction. This is one is not conjunction, this one is explanatory. And that is seen in the context. I've told you before, context saves the day. You must always learn to read properly. A word can mean a thousand of things depending on how it is said and the surrounding words about it. For example, if a photographer says, let me shoot you. A photographer says, let me shoot you. You know, you're not scared. You don't think that the light affiction is about to end. Right? But when you go to a vote election, and you know, vote now, vote in that place now. I receive the box where you want to vote to. Vote, let me shoot you. You know, they are now about to bring out props and backdrop. He said, vote, let me shoot you. Just go along. You know, your passport. You know, that's not about, so context says the day. Does that make sense? Alright. Psalm chapter 18. Go back down. So, but grow in grace and in the knowledge. Again, that and there is explaining how you grow in grace. He's explaining what spiritual growth is to you. He says, how do I know I'm growing in grace? How do I know I'm growing in the power of grace? The grace will be the fellowship of the Spirit. How do I know I'm growing in this eternal life I've received? How do I know I'm growing in the life of Christ that now dwells in me? How do I know I'm growing as I'm adding years in the natural? How do I know I'm growing? He says, that is, you will be growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus. So, the first marker, as it were, the first marker of spiritual growth will be knowledge. You begin to know. Not just know, don't forget that Peter said it earlier in 1 chapter 2. You begin to desire to know. You begin to desire to know. I remember growing up. I've told you before, myself and my friends, I will sneak out of Ibadan. You know, sneak out of house is different. I will sneak out of Ibadan to Ilorin to go and for a conference. Sometimes we will lap ourselves. You know, that you lap yourself to Ilorin from Ibadan. That's about a 5-hour drive. Yeah. If you don't meet a trailer along the Shaki. Trailers carrying tomato. So when we lap around for 1 hour, we have landmarks. When we get to Ife, or when we get to Gbongon, we change the lapping. It's always sweet to lap, sha. If you lap, you just sleep on the person's back. Then when down to sleep. But you that are being lapped, you cannot sleep. That's the code. Like 8 months like that, we now lap. They always abuse us in the park. You be abusing us. You are young. But you see that desire. We used to contribute money to buy books. I've told you before, when you came to my office the other day. We contribute money to buy books. We'll now be rotating the books. So they don't bore you enough to read. Because at the end of the month, we'll come together and talk about that single book that we all read. They said, you want to learn something? I learned a lot. They will say, what's the lot? Mention 10 things out of the lot. Amen. Because we don't have enough money to buy. I thank God for Reverend Matthew Ashimolo. He had a bookshop in Ibadan. Around Okebola side. So we used to line up for tapes, Pastor Christian Kilometer tapes, radio tapes, those ones that you wind back. There's one that is video cassette. I don't know if you know CD. Not CD. Is it the CD? Those video ones that you use to wind up for. VHS. You rewind that for So I remember there's one, that's your film, Pastor Kishira Kilome. There's one, A Man Sent from God. So we'll contribute money to buy it, and then we'll be playing it. So I stay most of the time in my friend's place. I'm like, those two, that desire, if you don't have it, you're not growing. I've told you, lack of zeal can never be spiritual growth. What did I say? Lack of zeal can never, in 20,000 years from now, can never be spiritual growth. Passion, desire, zeal shows growth. So I can have my markers. You hear that? I can have my markers for spiritual growth. Knowledge, desire. You look at yourself. How much do I desire to know God? How much do I desire? So I'm going to church, sir. Someone does not go to church now. They say, oh, this is a devil's child. Let's go to church. We shall be done very soon. Something is wrong. You might think you are chopping life. Life affliction. You are chopping life affliction. You might think you are chopping life. But no. Life is more than that. For those who are listening that are non-Nigerians, chopping life is not... What is chopping now? You might think you are enjoying and enjoying your years. But that's not it. That's all it. That desire, listen very well, that
That willingness. You know, you want to know that someone is growing spiritually. You have less work to remind them of things.
I remember there's a man that used to teach us then, Bro Johnson. He was schooling Polytechnic with Ibadan. So he used to, he's come from Bolero Ibadan to Anfani. That's some long distance. How do you describe that distance now in Lagos? Lagos small. Lagos small. You are saying you are going from, but because about there's no traffic. But it's literally saying you are going from Vegas to Aja. And you come and disciple. Imagine having a disciple at Aja. From Vegas. God is your disciple. I commit you to the grace of Christ. No. And he will come. Before I used to run away from him. When I started to grow spiritually, I was the one that would remind him. You said you want to bring me a cassette. You said you give me a book. I was young. I was 13, 14, 15. Okay, you promised me a book. You promised me that you will pray together. Then you say, okay, yeah, come, let's pray. You say father, I say father. After father, what else? I don't know what else to say. Yeah, I don't want jam talk for divinity, for divinity side. Don't go and jam talk to God. Then I said, but someone told me about tongues. You see, that desire is a proof of growth. When they are still chasing you about. See, you don't go to church. I'll go to church now. I'm sure you're a Christian. As long as I'm not a Muslim, I'm a Christian. No. See, I'm growing every day. Come on. See, I'm growing every day. The zeal of the Lord will consume me. You're not saying like it's consuming you. The zeal of the Lord will consume me. That's how you know spiritual growth. You begin to see that intense desire to know God, to live for Him, to just walk according to God's plan. That desire. You also begin to see that thirst for knowledge. Oftentimes, how do you know that people are about to be growing spiritually? Or they are growing spiritually? They start to ask questions. Because now they want to know. They start to ask questions. What about this one? Oftentimes, if you ask questions, glorious answer, there is one teaching or the other that will solve it. Amen. As sometimes the questions can be answered on the spot. Let me just tell you this one for free. But to prove your growth, just go and listen to a teacher. If you cannot listen to a teacher, that one is not spiritual growth. That's itchy ears. I'm giving you discipleship tips. So there are questions you can answer like and just say, this is the answer. But I will tell you, go and listen to Daniel Prophet. Listen to series 1. This is all the teaching in series 1. Then listen to Salvation for Faith. Series, this and this. If you don't listen to me, you never had a question. You are just curious. And it wasn't for growth. You must learn to know the difference. Paul said, some will have itchy ears. They just want to know something. They just want to quickly hear it. Not necessarily because they are going to grow daring. But true growth, we pursue it. Because you know that in the quest of listening, you are going to have more truth. So you say, I thank you, Pastor, for recommending that one. We're going to listen to it. That's growth. Hallelujah. Come on, praise God. So, that desire, that zeal, that thirst for knowledge, that's spiritual growth. So he says, growing grace, that is in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that's growth. It's growth. That's going to be, we are going to be, as we are going on, we'll be looking up today. Next week, next 2 weeks, we'll look at those things you have spoken about in previous years about spiritual growth. As this one is one of the very first ones. Knowledge. What do you know about Jesus? You know, some people, they ask them questions, they will say, I'm not a pastor now, why are you asking that kind of question? No, you don't have to be a pastor. In 1 Peter 3:15, he says, always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks about your faith. I mean, you will always have an answer. It's like me talking to an Arsenal fan, and I'm asking you a question, and you're telling me, I don't know. You're not an Arsenal fan. I'm an Arsenal fan, true and true. And I think I know at least 85% about the club. By saying 85%, I'm trying to just give myself space of things that happened in the 1800s, 1870s, 1880s, sorry, and early 90s that I might not know. But is it from 1990, 1970? I don't think there's anything about Arsenal, I don't know. The coaches, the players, the stadiums, Where he started from? Some of you are Arsenal fans, but are you why? You know, I used to ask some things that people say, that one. Because I'm an Arsenal fan. Amen. He's also trying, though. He's trying. He's better than some people. I'm not going to mention their names. He's way better. Abi Broadway. I didn't mention anybody's name. I just said Abi. You know? That is what it means to grow. So, if I can answer questions about Arsenal, some ladies, ask them questions about, Esther. Hey God. You will regret that you asked. See, that crochet now, if you take it to the back, I don't know what crochet is, I'm just talking. See, the front are being, I don't know terminologies, so please, I beg. The front are, the crochet, the, give me one. The all back, I said all back, I know they used to call it an assembly ground. when you do it like that, there's even the lady I saw on IG. Before you know it, she's opening her bag. I saved this time. You know, I don't know. You save. You'll be saving things on Instagram. You screenshotting things. I'll do this one next week. You have plans for air that you do December of this year. We're in January. I don't know dates. We're in January. You already have time for Christmas. But ask them, what is your spiritual growth plan? So which one is that one? I didn't screenshot that. I didn't screenshot that one. What's your plan to serve God more this year? These your questions are getting religious. So your Esther is getting what? Canalius. I just a canal person. Ask some brothers about football. Say, Messi, he's your goat. Goat God. Carefully. He's my goat. You know how many assists he has? How many, when he passed that, no, normally, if you give that ball, De Bruyne, how they got? Or then, you know that one, then they ask you, about forgiveness of sin. There's even a question, forgiveness of sin. Shall let's be thanking God that our sins are forgiven. I don't know any other thing, but we thank God. Glory to his name. He shall forgiven forever. Same, about tongues. There's this person that told me that when people speak in tongues, they're speaking like foreign language. I've not traveled beyond Nigeria. No. You should have an answer. Amen. Amen. If you don't have now, you desire to. Tell yourself by the end of the year, those are good resolutions. By the end of the year, I will know so much about God's word. And I will preach it with boldness, with so much gusto, with so much fervency. It will take only the doubt out of doubt. That should be a resolution. I will serve God so much this year. Even the devil say, what have I done to deserve this? Let's talk about football. You're talking about everything. You know everything about everything except Jesus. No. That's not a good indication of growth. Hallelujah. But you're growing this year? You believe that? So let us go to our text and I'll just read it and then we'll go. Psalm 1 verse 1. Play for me, I suppose, please. Blessed is the man that walks not in the seat, that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful. I love the way he puts it here. Don't forget where we started from. The son of David, alright? So we're looking at David now. He said, blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the way of sinners, nor stands that doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. He puts three negatives together. Walks not, stands not, and sits not. And we'll be looking at that as we progress in our adventures in spiritual growth. Amen. What does it mean? Walks not, stands not, sits not. And I trust God that our eyes will see. Amen. And we'll be able to progress in our adventure, in our journey of faith. And that by the end of the year, you will be a lot times better than you started. You'll be stronger. You'll be wiser. You'll be more deliberate. You'll be a champion. You know, you serve Jesus with your lifetime. You know, and you will not grow weary. You will not grow tired. You will not be distracted. You know, you will grow from strength to strength. And for every trap the enemy have set, you'll be 10 times ahead. You will never be caught. Your back will never be against the wall. You will never lose.
even as we go in the course of the year. Can you just bow your heads and pray for yourself? I want to know you more, Jesus. I want to grow in your word. I want to serve you. I want to.